I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes. I won't take too much time, but I want to talk to you about the God of the second chance. We serve a God of the second chance. Father, I thank you tonight that you have already shown us your heart through the powerful testimonies that have been given. You truly are a God who gives us a second chance. And Lord, tonight I pray that if there's anybody who has come into this house, whether by invite or just out of curiosity, that does not know you, I pray tonight that they will leave going home with a life that has changed and surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, he raises the dead. Jesus raises the dead. Wherever he went, he raised the dead. I want to take a look just very briefly at the very first occurrence where Jesus raises the dead. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. I want to take you back into that day where Jesus was. Just for a brief moment, I want to show you something here in the scriptures. Just a simple illustration. In Luke chapter 7, we see in verse 11, it says, chapter 7, verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Just look at me for a minute. I want to show you something, what takes place here. Jesus has been down in the coast of the Sea of Galilee, and he's been at Capernaum. And while he was at Capernaum, there was a centurion who has a servant who was sick, and Jesus had sent word to that centurion, and the centurion had said to him, "Don't come to my house, just speak the word, and it'll be done." And we see that the servant is absolutely miraculously healed, and when he moves from Capernaum, which is right in that basin of the Galilee Valley, and I've been there, folks, and to get out of that basin, it's a winding road, but Jesus makes that journey. He leaves Capernaum, and he goes over those relatively high hills, like little mountains, actually, and he goes on to the other side. He walks past this great Tabor mountain, and some say that was the Mount of Transfiguration. Who knows? But he walks by that. But with him, not only does he have his disciples walking with him, but he has a great multitude. This verse of scripture tells us much people. Another translation just says a great multitude of people. You've got to see Jesus is just walking up this road, and he's heading to the small town called Nain. So just a small town, a little city, stone-walled round about this little city. In fact, the word Nain, the town name, means pleasant. It means desirous. It means green pastures. And yet we see this little place is walled in, and there's only this one big round entrance to get into this place called Nain. And so Jesus is on the road. You've got to get the picture of here he is walking, and there's all this nattering going on. Everybody is just talking. They've seen miracles. They've seen people's lives touched. And they're walking with Jesus. You can just see the dust cascading behind them as this great multitude are just talking. Well, what did he say? I can't hear him. What did he say? I didn't get that last point. And they're just nattering. There's life everywhere that Jesus is going. He's creating life. People are following him. There's something about this man, Jesus, that people want. And so he's moving, he's heading towards this small town, which I just mentioned to you, has got this name of, you know, green valley and pastures and pleasantness. And as he's moving towards this gate with this great multitude of people, he's walking into this gate and getting close to it, and there's all this chattering going on, life is going on, and exactly at that moment, now how many of you know that nothing happens by happenstance with God? Nothing happens just by happenstance. It's the timing of God. Jesus just knew exactly where to be at the right time, at the right moment. He just knows it. When he was down in Capernaum, he probably said to his disciples, "Come on, we got to go." And they start moving towards this place called Nain. It's never mentioned again in the scriptures. One time, Jesus heads to the small town called Nain. One time, folks. One time in the scriptures, we read that he starts heading to this little town that's supposed to be this place of pleasantness, this place of beauty, this place of green pastures. Yet, at that exact moment that he's coming to this archway of going in, The Bible tells us in verse 2, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." In life, there are two streams. There's two streams, folks. There's the stream of life with Jesus. Where he heads, people are changing. People are being healed. Lives are being turned around. There's that one stream. But there's another stream. There's another stream. The world has a stream of its own. And it's heading in the opposite direction to the ways of God. I want to use this as a backdrop, just as a type. It's not the type. It's just as a type. But as he gets to this gate, here comes an equal crowd of people. The Bible uses exactly the same word, and much people. So here coming out of the gate, two crowds can't get through. This one crowd is coming out. And here is this great multitude, somber, quiet, sad, sorrowful. When I began to read this, I thought, God, this was my life. This was my life. This is how I lived. There was no joy. There was nothing pleasing going on in my life. This is how I live. This is the stream of the world. Folks, it doesn't matter how the devil paints the picture of Nain. He can say green pastures, but the people coming out are sorrowful and grieving. And that's the world. There's nothing satisfying in this world. There's nothing that can bring life from this world. And they're streaming out of this city, pouring out in a great multitude, just at the exact same time. Two crowds of equal volume and size. A great multitude was coming with her out of this place. You've got to just see the pictures. These two groups stop right and face each other. You've got to know who's going to win this. Who's going to have the victory at this point of these two groups meeting together? And I take a look and see what Jesus does. He takes control of the situation. Here is a mother, a widow. She's walked, the Bible calls her a widow. And this was her only son. She's already walked this path one time before when she took her husband out of those same gates and headed down to the tombs to put him away. She's already walked this road before. She's already traveled this road. The whole analogy is that in life, there's nothing predictable. We don't even know if there's going to be banks open tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. We have no clue whether the world can change in a moment of time. Here is a woman, a widow. Her husband's gone. She's already traveled this lonely road of sorrow one time before. This is her only son. Her only son, the only person who can have this dependency upon her or vice versa. And we see that he's gone as well. And the two groups meet. I want to tell you tonight, we serve a God of the second chance. We serve a God who's able to take that which is dead and bring it back to life again. When life meets death, death gives way to life. Hallelujah. There is no other chance. It's like a semi-truck just barreling down the highway and you in just on a little bicycle. Who's going to win, folks? That's the same analogy. Jesus, when he comes into the place, when life meets death, death gives way. And we see Jesus just takes control of the situation and he says he has compassion. And that's the most incredible thing that I see coming out of the scriptures is that when God sees the plight of your life, he knows that you've been living in the world. He knows that you've been pursuing the things of this world. He knows that you've tried to climb the ladder of ambition. He knows that you've come to a city that should have been the most prosperous city in the entire world where you can have your fame made in a moment. He knows. And he knows the struggle, he knows the hurt, he knows the pain, he knows that you have not had the kind of success that you've needed. He knows the sorrows that you've gone through. And he knows that exactly this right time, can you just see the picture of these two groups meeting? Right on time as they come out, there is Jesus. And when he meets that woman, he has compassion. Tonight, if you hear anything out of the preaching of God's word, it's going to be simply this. That he has compassion on you. He loves you. He cares for you. And then we see the most amazing thing. He stops those carrying that stretcher, the bier that is called his. It's like a stretcher. They're carrying this boy out and he stops them. And look what the scripture tells us. He says in verse 13, and the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. This is not a day that you have to continue weeping. Life is going to change for you. You might not know it, but life is just about to change. The sorrow that you're experiencing today is about to change. This is the first time that Jesus has raised anybody from the dead. Nobody has seen him do this before. And so you've got these two crowds, and the one crowd must have hushed down as all the chirping chatter as they're walking with Jesus, and they meet this other crowd coming out, somber and quiet. I think there came a holy hush, that you could hear Jesus simply speaking. Has he compassion? Weep not. Well, what does it mean not to weep? Don't you know that this is her only child that is dead on this carrier? Heading out to the tombs, this place called Nain that is green and beautiful and supposed to be pleasant and kind and good. Don't you know we're heading for the tombs? Don't you know this is a place of sorrow and grief? And Jesus says, weep not. Things are about to change. When you meet Jesus Christ, life decidedly changes. This is what I was, and this is what I am now. God makes the change. And he comes to this young boy and he says, he came and he touched the bit. He stopped them. He made them from going forward. And then he speaks. Now listen to what he says. He just speaks. This is so amazing. This body is dead. The body is dead. Jesus speaks to this young boy lying on this stretcher as though he were just sleeping. See, as far as God is concerned, he is just sleeping. And he speaks. He says, young man, he says, arise. Just simply words. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. When God speaks, he is the God that created the heavens and the earth. When he spoke, the worlds were created and formed. So when these words are coming from Jesus Christ, that body cannot remain in that condition one moment longer. And when he speaks, and the most amazing thing is that this boy hears when Jesus speaks. You can be far from God. You can be dead in sins. You can be absolutely unable to hear anything else in this world. But I tell you one thing. In the depth of your degradation, in the depths of sin, in the depths of spiritual death that you may be living in, you will hear the voice of God when he speaks to you. You will hear it, and you will hear it by the power of the Holy Spirit. When God calls your name, you will hear it. And when you respond to his name, to his call in your life, and you begin to arise, you will come into immediate life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this is what happens to this boy. You see this young boy just sit up. And he sits up. Now listen, folks. I watched when I was a kid. I've been scarred for life by Alfred Hitchcock. Scarred for life. I saw enough scary movies when I was a kid. I saw movies when in these places, these morgues where a body just sat up. And as kids, we just kind of like, whoa, what is this? And this is exactly what happens here in verse 16. This young boy, he sits up. And verse 16 says, and there came fear on all. Now, some commentators might put this as reverence, but I believe that the first response was, wow, we've never seen this before. I think there was like a shock that this dead body sits up. And this is what people begin to see first of all. I know that when you come from this place and you are changed and your family sees you for the very first time, they're going to go, whoa, what's happened to this person? There's going to be such an amazing change. And then they began to glorify God. The second response to this is they began to glorify God, that God has visited his people. Hallelujah. He's the God of the second chance, folks. He's the God of the second chance, that he gives life to all those who call upon him. One chapter ahead, there is a second time that Jesus raises the dead. And then a third time, you can read it in the book of the Gospel of John. And the second time he raises the dead, it's a little girl. The third time, it's a young man by the name of Lazarus. And I want to close with this word. And you know, each one of these people that Jesus raised from the dead, he spoke and they heard. They shouldn't have heard, but they did hear the voice of God. People might look at you and say, you could never hear the voice of God. God is speaking to you tonight and says, if you hear him call your name, he will raise you from that place of death and give you life. This is what Jesus said when he raised that, this is the third time that he raises the dead, and it's the last miracle he does before he goes to the cross. And in John chapter 11, verse 25, this is what he says. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, that means you and me, and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Folks, I've got to tell you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, he's speaking your name right now. Through this whole service, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, and he wants to take you from where you are and give you new life. The dead will hear his voice. You can hear. When he speaks, he's going to give you new life. Now, my prayer tonight is that you will respond. That you've been listening. You've been in this meeting. And you've been hearing the testimony, the songs, the presence of God. You've had a meeting of two forces. Jesus doesn't walk by. He raised the dead. He doesn't want you to walk by him tonight. If you respond to him, I am telling you, on the authority of this scripture, that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You can have an assurance that tonight, that if you were to die, your physical body might die, but you're on your way to eternal life. You're on your way to heaven, and you will be with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to ask us to do something very, very simple. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was very, very simple. An altar call was made. What is an altar call? An altar call is just responding to what you've heard. It's giving you an opportunity to put into action what God is speaking into your heart. And I remember that day when the altar call was made, and the pastor said, if anybody here would like to give their life to Jesus Christ, I want you to do something simple, just something very, very simple. I want you to put your hand up and indicate that you want to give your life to Christ. And I remember that day, I couldn't keep my hand down. I didn't know Jesus. I'd come to a gospel service for like one of the first times in years, and I heard the gospel, and I put my hand up. And I came to an altar, and I received Jesus Christ. And this has been years now, folks, that I've been serving him. I'm going to ask everybody in this auditorium just to simply stand to your feet. Nobody moving from their seats, please. Just stand where you are. Let's everybody stand tonight, please. No moving other than just standing where you are and then keep listening to me right now. We serve a God of a second chance. I thank God that I didn't die in a motorcycle accident in 1972. I was 1 second away from death. 1 second farther into the course I was traveling, and that car would have hit me right side on, and I would have died. 1 second. I was saved by 1 second. And I look back now and I think, God, you took me from death into life. Now, he knows your name. He's been speaking to you over and over again. And tonight, you're not here by accident. He's called you to this place. I'm going to ask you, if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you would like to do that tonight, then I'm going to simply ask you to do what I did many, many years ago. I'm going to ask you, take the courage of your conviction. Remember, Jesus died on a cross. He was unashamed to die on a cross for you. People mocked him, walked by, but he was on a cross for you unashamedly. Now he asks us to unashamedly say, yes, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight and you're here and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your hand straight up in the air and hold it up. Put it straight up. Put it straight up. Let's see. Yes, that's good. Keep it up. Keep it up. That's good. Hallelujah. In the balcony as well. Yes, sir. We see that hand. Keep it up. Now, there's probably many more of you. And you want to do it. God sees these hands. Now, listen to me. Take the second step. The musicians are going to play. But right now, for those who are standing round about you, who've got your hand up, just step out. Step out from where you are and come down to this place right now. Just step out right now. We'll wait for you. Take the courage. Make your way down here. People are coming. In the balcony, in the education annex, we'll wait for you. You come on across here. Folks, there's not a time to leave. This is a time just to stand with these people who are coming for the very first time to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, sir. Come on down. Wonderful. We'll wait for you as you come from the balcony. You just make your way down here. This is a moment. This is the God of the second chance. He's going to give you the opportunity to enter into eternal life tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song. And others, from the balcony, come on down. And here on the main floor, we'll wait for you. Others are taking their courage to come here tonight. If you need Jesus, step out of your seats and you come right now. Amen. Praise God. The greatest decision that you are making in your entire life. We can make great decisions on jobs. We can make great decisions on a multitude of things. But this singularly is the greatest decision that you are making. This is the decision that is going to take you from death into life. That from here you're going to go on to all eternity to live with God. It's amazing. God spoke in your heart. He knows where you've fallen. He knows all your sins. He took every last one of your sins that you've committed to a cross 2,000 years ago. He nailed them there. And he said, now, if you believe that I died and was buried and was raised again, if you can believe that, then I will give you life. If you believe that I'm the Lord, I've taken your sins away, and you open your life and receive Jesus Christ tonight, the Bible says that you will come into a brand new life. God will come and live within your heart. He stands at the door and he knocks. I don't know how long he's been knocking, but tonight you've opened that door. Jesus will come into your life. I want you at this altar here just to pray a simple prayer with me tonight. And there's going to be people outside in the lower lobby of the church, and they'll be waiting for you. If you don't have a Bible, they put a Gospel of John in your hand. If you need further prayer, they'll pray with you, and you're very welcome to do that after the service tonight. But right now, you're making the best decision. I want you just to bow your heads, just close your eyes, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And for some of you who maybe have not responded to come forward, but you need Jesus, you pray the same prayer that we're praying, and God will come into your life and you'll be changed. Now, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you died and you were buried and you rose on the third day. I believe that. And now tonight, I open my heart to you. I confess that I have sinned and come short of your standards. I ask you to forgive me. and to cleanse me of all of my sins. I'm sorry. Thank you that you have forgiven me. I receive your forgiveness. And now, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I give you my life. And I ask you to come and live in my life. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And now I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now give him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest decision that you've ever made, beloved. We want to encourage you that if you live in the area and you don't have a church to go to, you're very welcome to come and fellowship with us. We have a new believers meeting that will help you begin to grow in the things of the Word and how to pray. But if you are from another country, another state, then we encourage you to find a church just like this where the gospel is being preached and be a part of that church. You have come into a new family, and I want to be one of the first people to welcome you. Welcome to the family of God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll never be the same again. The God of the second chance. Now, Father, we thank you for blessing these tonight. Lord, they'll never be the same. Their homes will never be the same. And we want to give you thanks. Thank you for this meeting tonight. Thank you for touching lives. In Jesus' name. We want to go now rejoicing, beloved. Let's sing a rejoicing song. Please welcome these new family members into the house of the Lord. God bless you. Amen.